This is Chef Andrew Gruhl, the founder of Slapfish Restaurant Group, and you're listening to the SoCal Restaurant Show on AM 830 KLAA. And this is my go-to spot for all things food-related in Southern California.
And welcome back. It is the SoCal Restaurant Show, and happily we're here with you every Saturday morning from 10 a.m. until 12 noon, right here on AM 830 KLAA, the home of Ducks hockey and Angels baseball. And the Ducks are on the road tonight. They are in Chicago playing the Blackhawks, and of course we wish them well. I'm Andy Harris, the executive producer and co-host of the show. Thanks for being out there. And we're enthusiastically presented each and every week by Melissa's World Variety Produce and West Coast Prime Meats. Ladies and gentlemen, in California and really all across the country right now, family farms are an endangered species. What is even more poignant, particularly in California, is the Napa Valley really was founded and grew with small family farms. And unfortunately, is the land values in Napa have absolutely gone crazy as wineries and vineyards have passed from maybe one generation to the second generation. The temptation really is to sell because, you know, the money that's being offered is unbelievable. And farming is not an easy life. So I have great respect for the Hoops family that is now in the second generation of proud family ownership, the steward being Lindsay Hoops. And they started out really as grape growers and evolved into also producing award-winning wine. And when I had a chance to meet Lindsay Hoops in a virtual tasting recently, I was just absolutely fascinated by her story and her dedication to preserving this family farm and the tradition of what Napa was 25, 30 years ago, which is an endangered species. So with that as background, it's an absolute pleasure to welcome Lindsay Hoops to the SoCal Restaurant Show. Lindsay, good morning and welcome.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Lindsay, again, I'm just delighted with the background of your story. Your wines are wonderful. We on the SoCal Restaurant Show, you know, we support family farmers and entrepreneurs. And it's really our pleasure to get your story out there to our listening audience. Let's start out with your father, who really was a grape grower in the Napa Valley. How did he initially get there?
Well, ironically, he didn't have any experience in wine or grape growing specifically. So he was in the military. He was actually retired as a captain and had transferred from Fort Sill, Oklahoma to the Presidio in San Francisco when that was still an Army base. And so he tired of the fog. He really wanted to get back to his farming roots from southeastern Arizona. And a lot of people don't realize that actually there is a veteran's home in Napa Valley, in Yountville specifically. And so he had heard of sort of, let's say, some of his colleagues going out to pasture up in the Yountville, Napa area.
Wow.
Of course, at the time, in the early 1980s, there were people always think of grape growing and wine as the natural farming activity today. But 40 years ago, there were actually there was a huge diversity of crops, for one, and there was actually much more diversification in terms of what people did up here in the farming side. So my father didn't necessarily come for grapes. Grapes kind of found him, and he was right there at the pinnacle of when people said, oh, we think that this is going to be a good idea because the 1976 vintage had recently been tasted, and people were starting to talk about Napa on an international scale. But I don't think we really had any idea at that time where it was going to go, and it was a little bit of luck. My dad would say it was smart, but I think it was mostly luck that we made that transition into a crop that at the time was not the most obvious.
Now, the Cabernet Sauvignon grapes that your father was originally growing developed quite a reputation in the Napa Valley. Tell us a little bit about that, and then tell us a little bit about the vineyard estate.
Of course. So what, you know, Napa, of course, today has become synonymous with Cabernet Sauvignon. But in the early 1980s, again, there were a lot of farmers growing quite a diversity of crops. And a lot of people were trying out new rootstocks that were coming out of the UC Davis viticultural program. And unfortunately, in the late 1980s, early 1990s, Napa Valley was hit with a phylloxera outbreak, which for wine enthusiasts appreciate essentially destroys the crop, but not only a crop in any given year, but it actually requires replanting an entire vineyard. And usually the cycle from, let's say, planting to actual production can be 4 to 7 years, depending on what you're doing with the vineyard. So it can be very devastating for farmers up here. And my father actually had the only contiguous vineyard in its original form that survived the phylloxera outbreak, because we had planted on a rootstock that was not necessarily desirable because it wasn't trendy, but it was certainly the only rootstock that was available at the time that was actually able to withstand the phylloxera root louse.
Wow.
And so we were able to provide grapes for a number of the Napa brands that otherwise would have been out of production for quite a few years. And at that time, my father wasn't actually making his own wine. We were growing grapes for other people and very much providing the backbone of the Cabernet Sauvignon grape for a number of cult winemakers. And so because of his ability to keep a lot of these winemakers in business throughout this period of what could have been devastation for quite a few of them, and certainly could have changed the trajectory for Napa as an international leader in the wine world, a lot of the winemakers wanted to actually use his name in homage as a single vineyard designate. And in 1999,
unbelievable.
Well, at that time, I guess he'd grown a little bit confident in his grape growing skills because he had sort of outsmarted, as he would say again. I think he outlucked some of our neighbors. And, you know, he became very much a part of the Napa story. And because of that, the winemakers that really revered his ability to grow grapes throughout this time, you know, gave him the confidence to go out on his own and convert his primarily grape growing business for other people into wine production for himself. So it was a fun transition for the family. I was already off into high school. And although I had sort of moved away thinking that I would never come back to Napa Valley, I was really excited about the transition from grape growing to winemaking, where we could control the whole cycle and actually communicate the story from ground to bottle, that, you know, we were being now involved in the full cycle of the grapes and the wine that was being made from them.
Of course. Now, if Lindsay, if I have this right, this year you're celebrating your 10th anniversary of running what is now Hoops Family Vineyard. Do I have the chronology right?
I guess you do. I always feel like putting numbers on things dates me a little bit. But yes, I...
Lindsay, you're in good company, let me tell you. No
yeah,
worries there.
Yeah, I guess it is.
No, congratulations. Now, just one little part of the backstory, because I think it's important for our listeners to know, your father is still very much with us and actually lives on the vineyard estate, which is wonderful. Growing up, unlike many other scions in the Napa Valley, the winery and the vineyard gets passed to the second generation. Your father really wanted to make sure that you wanted to be in the family business, wouldn't hire you, and actually encouraged you to spread your wings and get experience elsewhere. You had some international travel experience, ended up in the San Francisco DA's office as a prosecutor. And Lindsay, just as a fun note, who was the district attorney of San Francisco during your tenure there?
Kamala Harris actually hired me directly out of law school.
Small world. And I know she is a foodie with her husband. Hopefully there's some Hoop Family wines that are in their cellar. What do you think?
Well, I was bold when I requested a job from her in the first place, so I'll find a way to get to the White House. Ironically, our original vineyard is very uncreatively named the White House Vineyard, because our house is a little white farmhouse, and the vineyard surrounds that. And so when we were growing up in Napa, my father named vineyards by geographic references. So that was the White House Vineyard because it surrounded the White House. You know, the vineyard across the street was Old Man V's vineyard. So anyway, everything had kind of a funny name. And we used to joke that we hoped that the wine would get into the White House someday, and maybe this is the vehicle. I don't know. We'll see.
Lindsay, knowing your perseverance, I would not say that is unlikely that will happen. And, you know, you've got at least three more years to make it happen. So, you know, I think that is all possible. Lindsay, before we need to take our first break and come back and pick up the conversation, let's talk about the vineyard estate itself. How many acres, what grapes besides Cab you grow on there, and you have all sorts of, you know, a lot of other activities that are on the estate that we'll get to after we come back. But let's just paint the picture before we go to break.
Absolutely. So we have a number of properties in the Oakville and Yountville areas. We do grow primarily Cabernet Sauvignon, but we have some Malbec, we have some Chardonnay, we have Petit Verdot, we have some interplanting, but most of our vineyards are actually quite old and original from the early 1980s. And then we've recently moved into regenerative farming. So as you hear in the background, I thought it would be helpful for everybody to get the real feel of the farm. We have an animal rescue sanctuary and a 2-acre organic vegetable garden to help bring biodiversity into the space.
Wonderful.
So
they
have a job as well as all of the other crops that we grow. But as far as grapes, we have about 60 acres total under vine and primarily Cabernet Sauvignon, and most of the vineyards are in the Mid-Valley area. So Napa is about 30 miles long, and if you threw a dart, Yountville is right in the middle of Napa Valley, and all of our vineyards sort of surround the Yountville Hill area there.
Lindsay, I think with Thomas Keller coming into Yountville, I guess it's close to 30 years now, and reviving the French Laundry, people have a tendency to know where Yountville is now. And I gather when you were growing up, if people associated that with where the VA retirement home was, that was probably the reference. Boy, has that come a long way.
It's amazing. And it's all happened within my lifetime. You know, the fact that people, ironically, the fact that people know Yountville or Kamala Harris, to be honest with you, is a little bit mind-blowing because all of these things started out as extraordinarily local change makers. And, you know, Thomas Keller has definitely put the culinary scene on the map, but I think he was able to tell a story effectively that was already very much a part of the Napa culture, which is that we have the wine experience. It's not just about wine. We very much believe in the farm-to-table culinary 360-degree vision of the wine lifestyle. And he's been able to bring that to people on an international scale through food. And I think that the Napa brand being so strong has been able to represent that through wine. But as people who live here and farm here, we live very much that food plus culinary plus wine component on a daily basis. And it is a beautiful place to live and a beautiful place to visit. And we've tried to show people that through reintroducing them to the agricultural side of Napa at our hospitality facility.
Lindsay, when we come back from our break, we will talk about how our listeners can visit Oasis by Hoops, which is the program that you're referring to. So, slight pause. We are talking with second-generation winemaker and wine grower, Lindsay Hoops. It is Hoops Family Vineyard and Winery. The main property is Oakville, but they have vineyards in other parts of the Napa Valley. We're going to pick the conversation up after our top of the hour break. You are listening to the SoCal Restaurant Show. We're proudly presented by Melissa's World Variety Produce and West Coast Prime Meats. Don't wander far.